All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you this morning from God's Word. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, we were absent from the assembly. We were in Grand Forks, and we got home for evening assembly. And when you're absent from the assembly, Gary sends you something called the Gospel Minutes. I don't know if you're familiar with getting that, but I read this particular one, and it just really spoke to me. And so I wanted to share some thoughts from that and from myself with regard to that Gospel Minutes. And if you've read it, and this is old news, I apologize, but I think you'll still gain a great deal from it because it spoke to our time. Once there was a mighty and powerful nation. That nation had the most powerful military on the planet. It really was a nation made up of a quilt, sort of a patchwork quilt of cultures and religions and races and people. This nation was the most sought after nation in the world to be traded with. It held almost all of the military power and monetary power in the world. Unfortunately, this nation was made up of an economy of very rich people and very poor people, and very few people in between. Unfortunately, this nation was filled with racial strife. Jews versus Gentiles. Greeks versus Romans. Unfortunately, this nation was filled with religious conflict of every kind. Unfortunately, this nation was filled with rebellion in many, many places. Unfortunately, this nation had a very corrupt government and it placed way too much power in the executive branch of the government. Sounds like I might be describing 21st century United States of America, doesn't it? But we're talking here about Rome. And so as Christians, how do you live in that place and time? What do you do to shine God's light when you're living in a place and time like I have described? Well, Paul gives us the answers. He wrote a letter to a congregation that was centered in the capital of that nation. It's called the Letter to the Romans. And we're going to focus this morning on Romans chapter 12. So if you want to find that in your pew Bibles or in your personal Bible, Romans chapter 12. I'm going to use one of the pew Bibles. That'll help you follow along. Romans chapter 12 is found on page 803 in that pew Bible. Romans chapter 12 starts with a word. Therefore. So when you start with a word like that, maybe you better give a little bit of background. So let's back up. As Paul begins the letter to the Romans, he describes this corrupt culture. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, he describes the corruption of the culture, how they were focused on getting ahead monetarily, how they were focused on greed and immorality and evil and envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice and gossip. In chapter 2, he talks about the racial division that was tearing the nation apart and that was so apparent there in the city of Rome. And so the first two chapters he describes this corrupt culture that the church needed to live in, and not just live in, but not just survive, but to conquer. In chapters 3 and 4, he talks about salvation by faith. Not just any faith, but faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 5, he talks about death and how that came about, that we all must die, and that death is in the world. In chapter 6, he talks about sin and rebirth. In chapter 7, he talks about sin and salvation. In chapter 8, he talks about victory. And in chapters 9 through 11, he talks about mercy for unbelievers. That's the therefore. And that brings us to chapter 12. Let's start with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Paul describes here a daily surrender. How do you win in a culture like we live in? How do you win in a culture like the culture of Rome in the first century that Paul wrote to? You surrender. We don't surrender to the Romans. You surrender to God.
Amen.
And you do this every single day. Paul says, I want you to be transformed in your mind. I don't want you to conform to this Roman corrupt culture and government and economy that you're living in. I want you to be transformed. And the way to do that is to get up every morning and say, I'm going to be a sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to give up what I want out of the day and yield to what God wants. How do you win? How do you conquer a culture like this horrible Roman culture? How do you conquer a culture like this earth that we live in and the 7.5 billion people that are on this planet that disagree with you? You do it by surrendering. And you do it every single morning, and you surrender to God, offering yourself not as a dead sacrifice. The people of Paul's time would have understood sacrifices because every day in the Roman culture, they got up and they killed an animal. And usually they checked out its liver or some internal organ to see what kind of day they were going to have. In the Jewish culture, they got up and they sacrificed an animal to God in heaven. They would have understood daily sacrifices. Paul describes a completely different kind of daily sacrifice. He says, today, make yourself a living sacrifice. As you live out your day, sacrifice yourself to glorify God. Moving on then, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Have you ever thought about that? Elder, you belong to me, and I belong to you. Awesome. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. God, in His church, in this daily sacrifice, gives you and I a chance to serve His body. It begins by doing a realistic evaluation of your talents and your abilities. And so as you're contemplating that daily sacrifice, take stock. What is it that you have that you can contribute? What is it you have that you can do? Now, human nature would be to be proud, right? When you do that evaluation, you say, you know, I'm a pretty good businessman. And so I think I could contribute my business skills. No, you would be proud of your business skills. That's human nature. God says, no, be honest and humble when you do this self-assessment. Your talents are for serving the body. Whatever gift that you have, why is it there? Is it there to make you popular? Is it there to make you famous? Is it there to make you look good in everyone else's eyes? No, whatever gift you have, it is there so that you may serve the needs of others. The Christian life is a chance to serve the church that Jesus built, to serve the body that you and I are a part of. And so having decided this morning and every morning that we're going to be a living sacrifice, we take stock of our talents and what they are, and we determine that those talents and gifts and ability are going to be used to serve the body, to serve others. Verses 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The Christian life gives us an opportunity to treat people right. It begins where? It begins with a genuine love. He says, love must be sincere. I think some of the translations say, love must be without hypocrisy. By the way, hypocrisy is play acting. Acting like something you're not. Putting on the happy face or the sad face or whatever role it is that you see yourself playing in life. Eeyore is the guy who's always needing somebody's sympathy. And Pooh Bear is the guy who's always happy no matter what's going on. And Tigger never stops jumping around. Okay? Those are all Hippocratic masks that we wear. We're talking here about sincere love. Love must be sincere. And so this chance to treat people right springs from a sincere love. It can't come from anywhere else. Because if it comes from someplace else, it ain't going to last. It's going to be play acting. This love presents itself in being devoted to the well-being of people around us. It presents itself in giving preference to the other members of the body, of giving preference to members of Christ's faith, of the members of His body. It presents itself as being devoted to prayer and praying for one another. Tomorrow is an opportunity for fast and prayer for all of you. You can fast and pray. You can fast. You can pray, but pray. Okay? It presents an opportunity through being generous to meet the needs of other Christians and opening our homes and our possessions to people who are in need. It is focused on others. It puts others first. It is more worried about saving another soul than being safe. It is a chance to treat people right. That is how you live in this culture. Romans 12, 14 through 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. It is a chance to react well to criticism. As Christians, we are going to be criticized. I bet you've been criticized at some point in your life. I bet you'll be criticized again at some point in your life. As Christians, we are going to be criticized. Many times that criticism is not fair. Many times it's even made up. It's not even true, let alone fair. When we are unjustly criticized, how are we to react? We're supposed to react the way Jesus reacted. Christian life is a chance to be quiet and resolute in the face of unfair criticism. The world is going to tell us to defend ourselves, to push back, to get even. But Jesus tells us to be quiet and to be faithful and to be true to Him. Sometimes the criticism is just because you and I have failed to act the way God wants. Sometimes we should be criticized because we're not glorifying God in the way that we're acting or talking. What do we do then? Well, the answer is to be humble and contrite and to learn to use this simple phrase, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Isn't that simple? I'm sorry, I was wrong. So sometimes the criticism is just. And the way to deal with that is to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. This attitude will heal churches. It will heal marriages. It will heal broken relationships. It will heal cultural divides. It will heal religious divides. It will heal racial tension. It will heal everything. The Christian life gives us the tools to deal with the corruption that the world brings into our lives every single day. Let's finish with Romans chapter 12, 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As Christians, we need to hope to get along with everybody. That's a big hope, isn't it? But that is our hope, is to get along with everyone. However, some people are not get-alongable, are they? I think I just invented a word, okay? There's some folks you're just not going to get along with. Some people just may not ever leave you alone. Sometimes there's going to be a fellow Christian who just loves to point out your failings or where they think that you are wrong. Sometimes there's going to be co-workers who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Jesus, or who want to make your life miserable. There are people like that who are caught in sin. And that is what created the culture that Paul wrote this letter to, and that's what created the culture that you and I live in. What we have to do is do the right thing in all circumstances. Never try to get even or pay back evil for evil. Trust God to do the judging. Not just to judge rightly, but to judge at the right time. All right? That's a new thought to me. Not just that he is going to make the right or proper judgment, but he's going to do it at the right time. It may be that your enemy, who is not get-alongable, is not ready for judgment. When God took the Israelites into Egypt for 400 years, it was because the land of Canaan wasn't ready for judgment yet. God was providing them 400 years of opportunity to return to him before the Israelites came out of Egypt and took the land. And so we need to trust God not just to do the right judgment in the right way, but to do it at the right time. We can overcome evil by responding with good when we are mistreated. We need to love our fellow Christians and not retaliate when they criticize. We need to treat our enemies with love, agape love, and compassion and generosity, even when they're doing the worst. And so Paul gives us here the recipe for living in a culture like 21st century America. Die daily. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Serve the body. Take a look at your talents and your abilities and every day determine that those were given to you to serve the body and to serve others. Treat people right. React properly to the critics and overcome evil with good. But that's so hard, God. That is so hard. How can I do that? Well, it all starts with the secret that Paul gave the Romans in Romans chapter 6. And so we should turn over there. And I mentioned that as part of the therefore. So when Paul got to Romans chapter 12, they had already read Romans chapter 6. And they understood the therefore. And I want to read Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. How can you live the life described in Romans chapter 12? Sorry to tell you this, but you have to die. First, you have to die. Before you can live, you must die. And so in the therefore, Paul wrapped all of this up, and as he described this horrible Roman culture and situation and government that they lived under, he came to Romans chapter 6 and he says, you got to make a new beginning. Romans chapter 12 gives you all the thoughts about how to live in that culture. But Romans chapter 6 tells you, you have to make a new beginning. So as we contemplate this morning, and as our nation and our world muddles on through its problems, there are abundant racial problems, abundant religious problems, abundant economic problems, people starving and dying and killing and fighting and hating and gossiping and pursuing evil all around us. As we look at how to deal with that, look to Romans chapter 12. But that can only happen in the therefore. If we have first died and then been raised again. We can help you with that. If you don't understand, we'd be happy to study God's Word with you. If you need us to pray with you, because that is so hard a concept, and the idea that you must die in order to live, it is hard to grasp. We will pray with you. We will rejoice with you. We will love you. We will care for you. I'll sum it up. We'll Romans 12 you. If you would like to be Romans 12, and you need our thoughts and prayers and study this morning, then come and talk to us as we stand and sing.
There's a strange...